in that moment, despite being so, so, so angry, he met me in that place. Like, it's okay. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. I understand, but I have this worked out. I have a way, I have a plan, and it's so much greater than you can imagine. And all of this is not going to be wasted. None of this is going to be wasted. It's all going to work out. It's going to be part of your testimony one day.
Welcome. You're listening to the Love That Surpasses podcast. And I'm your host, Sarah Lowry.
And I'm your co-host, Megan Bushalon.
Take a seat and join in as we share our hearts and experiences surrounding parenthood, disabilities, and God's calling on our lives to live victoriously, fearlessly, and free.
You'll hear conversations about expectations, grief, jealousy, but also surrendering our lives and stepping into our God-given purpose with courage.
We're so glad you're here today, and we hope you feel abundantly loved. Because, well, you are.
Welcome back. We're so glad you're here. You're here for episode 6, which is called Blinded by Anger. Wow.
Yes. This is going to be a good one, I think, especially because of the start of this whole episode. I was starting to get angry, which is so funny that we're talking about anger today.
We had a lot of technical difficulties trying to make this episode happen.
Yeah. And it's mainly my fault because I have the weirdest life. I live in an RV and you can't rely on like campground Wi-Fi. So you have to have your own. And anyways, my Wi-Fi wasn't working and I was like, no problem. I'll just go someplace else. And the location I was going to do it at didn't work out. They didn't have room. So I was like, whatever, I'll just go to a coffee shop parking lot and use their Wi-Fi. And that did not work. It was disconnecting and it started off fine and then it just stopped working. And so,
but where there is a will, there is a way. And we found our way. So
we found our way. So yeah, I'm in my truck right now, in case anyone was wondering or is watching this. I'm in my truck. Normally I'm at home, but I'm in the back seat. Car seats are right here. It's an interesting day, but I started to get angry. I started to get really frustrated and I was like, no, we're not going to get angry. We're not going to get upset. God will provide. It will work out. And it'll just make this episode more interesting because anger can be a tough topic to discuss.
It can. Right?
So we needed a lighthearted start to all of this.
Yeah, we definitely did.
Okay. So start us off, Sarah. We talked a little bit about this before we got on and you wanted to share something that you were a moment where you were really angry and you felt bitterness and things like that. So tell me about that.
Well, I don't know if you could describe it as a moment. It's more like,
sure.
It's been kind of like a continual process of emotions. I feel like, which is, I guess a good thing to, you know, a good perspective as well. Anger can also be kind of more of a process versus just like being angry in a moment.
Right.
So I'll give a little backstory. Me and my husband are originally from Nashville, Tennessee, and through almost 3 years ago now, during this time, I was pregnant with Emmett. I had a prenatal diagnosis. We were potentially, preparing ourselves for NICU stay after his birth. We were preparing ourselves. They found, a heart condition. They were thinking it was worse than what it was. And he was maybe going to have surgery at 3 days old. We were preparing ourselves for that. Plot twist, like a month before I delivered him, my husband found out that he had this really incredible job opportunity. This would put our family going through, four months of him being gone, two states away, right at the time of Emmett's birth and moving across the country, completely across the country. Mm-hmm. I can't describe anything else in those moments between my husband and I. It was totally God's peace over us about all of it. And I can't even, like, thinking back now, I'm like, people probably thought we were insane, but we just had so much peace about it. They were like, okay, like your offer is San Francisco Bay Area. You know, we didn't even have like an exact location, and the Bay Area is huge. So, and they were like, we're going to leave in like 3 weeks. And, it was just such an interesting time. And it's so good to look back at that now and like see how God really moved in those moments for us. And he moved so big. We had so much peace. You know, my husband was able, he worked it out to where my husband was able to come back for Emmett's birth. It was definitely a struggle, like him being gone for 4 months, like me having my 2-year-old and a newborn. But family stepped in and really helped us. And then we moved across the country. We sold our house like exactly when we needed it to. I found a job exactly when I needed to. We found, you know, a house out here exactly when we needed to. Like, God orchestrated this whole thing. And in that process, there was so much stress, but also so much peace of like, okay, I know you're going to work this out. And he did. So we move all the way across the country from Nashville, Tennessee to the Bay Area. And 3 months before the pandemic hit, we know nobody. Everything shuts down when we get here. It was a really, really challenging time for us. It's already really hard to make friends when you're an adult. But to like add COVID on top of it and, you know, it's just such a different culture out here anyways. Especially like culture wise, you know, in Nashville, I would describe it as like a very kind of like fertile place. Like, it's acceptable to like have a blue collar job and it's acceptable, you know, people are kind and they want to talk to you, in the supermarket or, you know, say hi, or it's not uncommon. I mean, my dad, you know, he's out here and he's like saying hi to, neighbors or, you know, that he doesn't even know, like walking on the side of the road, you know, from 20 feet away. And I'm like, they just give him this look of, okay, like,
do I know you?
But in Tennessee, it's like, that's the normal, yeah. You know, we told
in Georgia
and Florida too. We went to Disney World this past year. And I mean, we told a lady our whole life story in the matter of like waiting in line for It's a Small World. It's just so different. That doesn't happen out here in the Bay Area. Like, people are, you know, just very success oriented out here. And that is very, very challenging when you have, you know, 2 children who need extra help. And I just remember my first, like, I think it was like, we first moved here like 3 days later. I had to go to occupational health. I got this Uber driver. He was actually from, I think he was from Florida. And, we were talking about how he was from the South too. And I was like, oh, I just stepped up off a plane like 3 days ago. Like, we're from Nashville. Like, tell me about the area. And he's like, oh, well, the culture is definitely different here. And, you know, he's just, you know, telling me about, you know, the people like their nice cars and, you know, their status and all about money. And I was like, oh, interesting. And I talk about this particular moment in my book, A Love That Surpasses, Living Love, Fearless and Free. You can find that on Amazon. But I just remember in that moment thinking like, oh, wow, like we just moved all the way across the country to be like probably in the most unfertile place that we could have been planted with our family situation, like our unique family situation. Like,
yeah,
great. and as time has continued, like I have found that to be more and more true. And, you know, it's caused a lot of like hard discussions between me and my husband. And, you know, at times, you know, he's definitely been angry about that. Like, you know, and we've definitely questioned God on that. Like, why would you take us from such a fertile place, and uproot us and move us all the way across the country where we know nobody. And we're in this dry land, like hardly getting any water. I'm like a cactus over here, somehow surviving. So yeah. It's just been like such an interesting process of emotions and, you know, kind of this ongoing anger as we, you know, dive more into the school systems and their expectations for you just know, you know, normal children. My coworker she's often told me about how like it's hard for her son, who's just, he's typical, but she's like, you know, my son is just average and that's okay. But it's just the culture out here. It's not okay to be average. So, you know, when you're hearing this from another mom who son just wants to, you know, be average and go outside and play and not do a million extracurricular activities, as a 10-year-old to get into college one day. It just really, it puts that into perspective for a mom who, you know, my kids need extra help and how does that make me feel? And, hearing about everybody else who's signing their children up for kindergarten and a dual immersion language program, like that is the norm out here. And I'm like, I'm just happy if my daughter can speak English. Like we are just praising her to, you know, use her words. It's such a struggle. And it fills me, my husband, with, you know, such anger sometimes of like, okay, God, like, first of all, why us? Like, you know, our son needs extra help, you know, our daughter too, like, come on, give us a break. And then, you know, just have that pressure of, you know, just being in this place where everybody's kids are like pushed to excel so much and their worth is so tied to success here in this area. Like that's a climb up Mount Everest for us. And it just makes us so sad and angry too. Cause it's like, this would not be as big of a struggle if we would have just stayed where we were at, because, you know, it's acceptable to be average in Nashville. Like, I know that the same coworker told me about a story about somebody overhearing a child at career day tell their mom, like, I want to be a pilot when I grow up. And the mom was like, you will not be a pilot. That is a glorified Uber driver. And I'm just like, what? Pilots, like they go through so much training. It takes like years to be a pilot. And especially like in the military, like it is a very,
prestigious
like rank. Cause my husband looked into going to pilot school, and you know, it takes a lot to get there. Yeah. Which is just crazy to me. It just blows my mind.
That somebody has that mentality.
Yeah. It's so different out here. You know, and then just growing up, you know, Southern, going to church, that's normal. Like 90% of people out here do not attend church. So it has been just very challenging to find a good church home out here, where back in Nashville, we had an amazing church and we loved our pastor and we had a great kids program and just so many pieces that we weren't expecting it to be so hard and questioning God, why would you give us so much peace about moving out here? Like, what are we here for? I know we're going to figure that out one day, but in the moment of it, it's like, okay, God.
Yeah.
Give us a little slack, like give us.
And I can definitely relate to that because of our recent move. And though we've had some instances where, you know, we'd have these discussions with the schools and trying to work with Eli and to help him with his particular needs. And so, yeah, there've been tough conversations. There've been challenges, but I wouldn't say to the extent that you have. And so, you know, and we kind of very quickly found our church home because of my husband's coworkers, excuse me, recommended this place. And so everything worked out, but we moved at the worst time ever to move, in the middle of the pandemic, the worst housing crisis ever, to one of the most expensive places to live. It's the third most expensive place to live behind, California and New York. So it's pretty,
I'm from Georgia to here in New York.
Yeah, for sure. Miami. Yeah. Cause there's parts of Florida that are, not like this. For example, you know, you may find a $250,000 house. Okay.
Yeah,
decent. Okay. In Georgia, that's a big house.
that's a wraparound porch. You got four bedrooms and at least an acre land kind of house. Here, a $250,000 house is a shack. It's literally run down. The roof needs repairs. The walls are moldy. It's a shack. It's not the same. And so you can't find anything here. There's also just everybody's buying things up. We can't even find a place to rent because people are coming here and they're outbidding on rentals. They're saying, oh, I'll pay you a year's worth of rent up front and I'll pay you more for what you're asking for.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to anger over that too.
Oh my gosh. So frustrating. Now, thankfully, the Lord has given me a spirit of just like rebellious, just like this wild hair, just crazy child that I don't conform to anything. Not even the way that I live. And so I was like, ooh, this is the perfect opportunity to live in an RV. Let's do the tiny living. It's really our only option. So you don't have a choice, but here, let's do this. My husband isn't the craziest about it. He doesn't love it as much as I do. He's cool with it. There's aspects about it that he loves, but he's not like in love with it the way that I am. He hasn't embraced it the way that I have. And so he's like, I'm supposed to go travel for my birthday to see my parents for like a week. And he's like, well, he has to work. So he's like, while you're gone, I'm moving us into like an apartment or something while you're gone. I'm like, no, you're not. We're staying in the RV forever. So anyways, but it's come with great, great, great challenges. It's come with moments of real anger, really frustration. We actually had a moment where we thought we were moving into a house and financially it made sense versus the RV. Like, I'm not going to move it into anything if I would rather live in the RV. Like, it has to make sense. Well, this made sense. And it was a beautiful house in a great neighborhood. It was right near their school, right near my husband's work. It was perfect. And unfortunately, it turned out to be a scam. And we were scammed out of thousands of dollars. And that was a real moment for me, because like, it was one of those things where I felt like, oh my gosh, God really provided this and it didn't work out. And I was genuinely, genuinely angry. Like, the first time in my life, I think I was actually really angry with God. So I remember laying in bed and I was like, seriously? Really? Like, you couldn't give us a break. We're already struggling. It's already hard enough. We've moved from our families that were living in an RV. As much as I love the RV, we're not in a home. It wasn't this grand move where everything worked out perfectly. You know, it's been challenging getting Eli set up with all his particular needs. I'm like, you couldn't give us this one thing. Like, why did this happen to us? I was really upset. And I had my fit. I had my temper tantrum. And then I felt like God was like, all right, you done? Okay. I've got it worked out. Like, I felt like in that moment, despite being so, so, so angry, he met me in that place. Like, it's okay. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry. I understand. But I have this worked out. I have a way, I have a plan, and it's so much greater than you can imagine. And all of this is not going to be wasted. None of this is going to be wasted. It's all going to work out. It's going to be part of your testimony one day. Yeah. One day you're going to be able to look back and be like, that's why that happened. Because I needed to be able to say I came from this, and this is what God provided. This is where God met me. So I believe that. And I don't know what that's going to look like yet. And I'm genuinely excited and just like embracing that, but I'm not going to lie and say that like, oh my gosh, yay, we moved from Georgia to Florida. It's so cool. And though I do share a lot of fun things our family does, because we've made the most of everything, it has been super, super, super challenging. And even my husband, I think my husband's had a harder time with it than I have, because I'm a very go with the flow kind of gal. And he's more like, I've worked really hard for this. I moved our family. I uprooted us. I got us to this place. This is my fault that we got moved here, because it's for his job.
Oh my gosh. That is right? Dallas made over.
Parallel. Absolutely. Yes. Exactly. And he's so having he's such just a harder like,
time with it.
Yeah. They're both just like, I did this. And like, why? If this was meant to be, why is it like this? Why is it not everything working out the way that I had worked so hard for? And you know what? this is coming to mind. Oh man, I feel the spirit. So I feel like in these moments, you know, that song that we're both obsessed with now, because we've been listening to it over and over and over again. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I love the verse. It says, empty me, fill me up, make me a vessel. Mm-hmm. And then it comes to the part where it says, come like a wildfire, burn up our idols. Boy, if God ain't burning up idols in both of, in my life, but also my husband's life, where he's like, I'm about to empty you of everything that you put above me. I'm about to empty you of everything that you put your faith in, your confidence in, your trust in, your energy in. I'm emptying those things of you, because so that all that you have left is me.
That's good. Yeah.
I feel like that's what's happening. So I've just been like, bring it on. Empty me, empty Brad, empty everything, empty everything. And I've prayed this before we move, you know, uproot us, change everything. And that change comes with emptying all these things out, burning up our idols, because we want the great measure. We want to be a vessel. We want to be used. We want to be closer
to God.
We should
probably tell them what song this is so they can listen to it. Oh, it's Adonai by Worship Mob. You'll thank us later.
And Adonai is Lord, right? In Hebrew. It's a beautiful song. It's so just beautiful. I'm obsessed with it. And it's such a good reminder of, like, when we're going through these challenging experiences or when things aren't going right, we realize where we really put our trust in. Absolutely. And it's in ourselves and in our situations. And something as simple as like moving into a house should be so straightforward. But if that's ultimately where you're putting your energy into and your faith into, like, oh, if I have this thing, that means that I've made it. That means that my life is good, that I'm happy. God's about to wreck all of that. And so I feel like he's wrecking all those things. And
it's reminded me away. Of the, it's reminded me of the idol that, you know, we valued so much before we moved out here, like, you know, success, this value of like idling success as deeming you worthy, like burning up that idol. That's really
performance.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's what's happening for us. So that's been, it's a, like you talked about, a continuous process. It's definitely not been a moment. I feel like in the grand scheme of things, it'll deem as a moment, but it is definitely an ongoing thing where I have to, in those moments of frustration and real anger and disappointment and hurt.
Yes, it's like a lot of hurt.
God's emptying me. God's emptying this, burning up that idol, burn it up. I don't need it. I trust you. My full faith is in you. Everything's going to work out.
But burning up that idol hurts. It hurts in that process.
It stings. And sometimes it leaves a scar, and it doesn't, you know, if you don't let it heal fully, like it's tough, but you will get through it. I promise you. If you're in the midst of, and I'm in the midst of that, if you're in the midst of feeling that sizzle, that burn, the Lord molding you, crushing, you know, you're about to come out on the other side of that with just this amazing, amazing story and experience. And I fully believe that. I feel like we have something just on the horizon that's going to be like, that's what God has been planning all along. My mom keeps saying that we're not supposed to live here, and that, like, in a few months, I'm going to call her and be like, hey, we're moving back home. We weren't supposed to find a home here because we're coming back home. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think that's what she's praying for. So another thing that I went through that I think is maybe worth mentioning is relationships. We've talked about this a little bit in some previous episodes. So just quick recap, I'd had some real disappointments in my life when it came to relationships, and how I had expected them to be. And who they were going to be in my life, and especially my children's lives. When that didn't happen, it crushed me. And I went from this place of mourning and just like deep, deep sadness and grief to full on just anger and resentment and bitterness. And I found myself unable to really open up to new relationships, trusting people who genuinely cared about me, my heart, my kids. And it just left me expecting pain, expecting hurt, expecting people to let me down. And I know we're not supposed to put our trust in people, but I really refuse to trust that anyone could care for me in the way that I would care for other people. Like, I always felt like I was the one loving more than I was being loved. I guess it's probably the easy way to explain it. So there's a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness there. But we've talked about this again before. I realized after I went through that process and God moved me from those relationships, I saw later, wow, this was actually a good thing. I didn't see it at the time. Mm-hmm. But that person was wreaking havoc in my life and was impacting me in a real, real negative way. And mm-hmm. it was so toxic. I mean, y'all, I don't know how I was blinded to it. My husband wasn't. Y'all, I can't tell how many times he would be like, Megan, you know, that's not okay, right? Megan, I don't like you, you know, that's wrong. Like you shouldn't say things like that. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. Like they didn't mean it that way. They just like, whatever. I would make excuses. And, finally he was, you know, when all things were said and done, he was like, I mean, I don't want to say I told you so, but I told you so. And I was like, you know what? You're right. So now oh my gosh, I hope he doesn't hear this episode. He's like, I was right. He never gets to hear that he's right. he was right. And so now a lot of times I do vet my friends with Brad. I'm like, what do you think about them? Like what vibes you get? So I will say he does have good vibes about you, Sarah. All I've heard is good things. It does help that you have the most adorable kids and Brad's obsessed with Emmett. Like Emmett is his little buddy. Loves Emmett.
I know. I can't wait for them to meet one day. It's going to be sweet.
I think they're going to be two peas in a pod. Genuinely do. I joke all the time that like the boys, my boys are like not going to care about fishing like at all. Like, cause they're just as bad as Brad would love that. I think it's not going to happen just because he really wants it. But then Emmett is going to be obsessed with fishing and Emmett's going to be Brad's first mate. Like, I don't know why I just see that. So,
that'll be,
you know,
so
I'm praying that happens. They'll be fishing in Florida. Y'all be living in Florida with us. Anyways,
she's wishful thinking.
Listen, I'm speaking it into existence. Okay. It's happening. That's why God moved us here. He moved us here. Maybe we're not meant to live in Miami. Maybe we're meant to live somewhere else in Florida where y'all are going to end up. And then like, things are just gonna happen. I don't know.
That would be a dream.
It's being recorded right now. So one day we'll be referencing this episode, calling it.
Well, I think a lot of people can definitely relate to the hurt and anger that comes with being let down from expectations of relationships. Yeah, I think that's sure. a great one. Another, you know, I don't personally have any of that experience. I feel like the way that I've harvested recently a lot of anger towards people has been just in hard conversations I've had to have about my kids mm-hmm. with the school system. That has been very, very hurtful. Having some conversations and just going through, like, you know, just seeing if my kid would be even accepted. You know, I've had two schools now, preschools that, you know, I've emailed about both of my kids attending and have both responded with, oh yeah, we would love to have your daughter come. And yeah. no mention and about my son, not even yeah. acknowledging Emmett. And of course, for two reasons, practicality, you know, wherever my daughter goes, Emmett's going to go because we work and we can't yeah, be shuttling like around town places. And then two, you know, I don't want her to get this feeling of wherever she gets to go and be accepted, you know, but oh, her brother, he's not welcome here. Like he's not good enough to go to this school. And I feel like a lot of parents who have kids with disabilities feel that way and can really, really relate to this conversation. But I want to encourage, I know I talked a little bit about it in previous episodes, just finding your people, because we did find a school who welcomed both of our kids with open arms. And it's really hard for us to describe, like, you know, what's kind of going on with Hayden. Like, she has some sensory stuff and language barrier, so that can be quite challenging. But you know, it's just funny that, you know, she can have all those like challenging and, you know, things that she needs improvement on and be accepted wherever she goes, just because she has, you know, 46 chromosomes in it.
Yeah.
You know, because he has 47, they're like, oh, I don't know if we can take him, you know, we can't deal with his extra needs, but we can deal with your daughter's extra needs, because she's typical. So that's been really hard. And then just having those conversations with the teachers when they, you know, at a previous school that Hayden was at, and she was really struggling to get acclimated again after being out of school for so long because of COVID and moving, you know, they were basically like, well, what are you guys doing about this at home? She does this. And it was all negative. And I know you can relate to this too, Megan. It was like all these negative reports, negative, negative. She's doing this. She's doing this. And what are you guys doing about it at home? And she can't do this. And it was like never a team approach. Like, I can't fix everything at home. Like, you know, a lot of this is like social and school and getting, you know, structured. And so we moved her schools and where she's flourishing as well. And they took a complete team approach. They were like, okay, we're going to do this here with her. And then we were like, well, okay, great. Like, I'm glad you're doing that. Like, we'll do this, you know, at home, like we can work together. And that is all we needed. And she has just bloomed. I mean, just thrived because she's loved. And, you know, that's where we started Emmett, and they wanted him and they welcomed him and they took time to invest and love in him and see him grow and, you know, see his, you know, extra needs as just any of the other kids who have extra needs too. And that's so important. But, you know, before we found this amazing, like diamond school, you know, hiding in all the dirt, you know, we had to sift through the dirt to find it. And that was really painful to sift through all of that and find that precious diamond that we did. And I know you can relate to this too.
Okay. So yeah, I can definitely relate to that. I've had to have those tough conversations with teachers, and it was something where unfortunately had to happen, but it was good that it happened because we were able to sit down and I had to come to the table and be like, okay, listen, I get that that's maybe not what you meant or what you were trying to say, but this is what you said. This is how this made me feel. This is probably how you could have presented it better. And it's holding your ground and being able to say, no, this is what happened. This is how I received it. And this is the expectations I have, or this, like, be willing to kind of teach. And it's unfortunate that we have to do that sometimes. And not everyone has the experience or has the sensitivity that sometimes is required in order to have some of these conversations with parents, with children who have differences. So, but that's okay, because we can extend grace and we can say, okay, look, I understand. But here's how this is what we're going to do moving forward. You know, I'm willing to share with you my experience and my thoughts on this, and how can we work together? And
this conversation is definitely going to play into this next episode, forgiving others. Episode 7 is going to be about forgiving others, because they, you know, when you have these hard conversations, others can say some really hurtful, unintentional things.
Yeah. And you go into it with the expectation that they're going to say something hurtful. You go into it already with anger and just like holding your breath. You remember that day I called you and I said, I was holding my breath the entire time and I didn't realize it until I was done. And I almost was emotional because I was like, okay, I'm through. It wasn't like it was a bad conversation. It was just, it was hard. It was intense. And, but I realized that was really all me. I went into it ready to like fight. I'm like, listen here, let me tell you. So But when we had the conversation, thankfully they were super understanding. They were super apologetic. They were like, okay, this is how we perform. This is what we're going to do. And since then they've been like, I have a closer relationship with them now, I feel like, because we had sort of that moment together where it was like, all right, you know, and now I feel like I can have a much more open dialect. I can't even talk. We have there's an open communication. There's an open door. I'm able to not just say like, hey, what's a part of our IEP plan? What are we doing here? But like, I can continuously update them on therapy sessions. Hey, this is what the therapist is using to help him with this particular sound. I want you to know so that on your one-on-one time with my son, you can, you know, try to work that in there, and that might help him with some of the things that you're teaching him in the classroom. So the director's talking with us now. Like there's a much better, there's the teamwork is there. And I think too, I didn't realize how much they were waiting on me. And in my mind, I was thinking, well, I don't have anything to give them right now to update them on my son's situation, because we were kind of in the midst of all of it. So now we sort of have this relationship where it's like, it's less of like, hey, waiting on the other person. We're more of like, okay, hey, guess what? This is what's going on today. I actually send my son's teacher like voiceovers now. Hey, this is what we're doing. She sends me pictures of what he's been working on and how he's improved. So it's a lot of good came from that conversation, but initially it was really hard and emotional. And I was a little angry. And I went into additional conversations after the fact, angry, but thankfully they met me where I was at and was like, okay, it's okay. You know, we understand. And just creating that willing open, to work with you.
Open dialogue was so important. And I feel like I just had something come to mind about, you know, expressing, you know, how we feel to teachers, because I feel like that's so important. Teachers, we're so grateful for them playing such a huge role for our children. And I've heard a lot of teachers, you know, when I post stuff on social media, say like, yes, early intervention is so important to get them that early help. You know, it makes us so sad when we see kids struggle and the parents don't want to help their kid and put them in, you know, put them in an IEP or get them services. I think it's good to be transparent about, it's not that we don't want our kids to get help. It's not that we don't want the best for our kids. We do. We want the moon and the stars for our children. But I think it's great for teachers to see our side of things and like, no, there's a huge pride issue that goes with getting your children help. And you got to be able to lay down that pride to say, okay, I'm going to meet you here and I'm going to move forward on this path that I don't want to for my child. It's not that I don't want my kids to get help. It's that I don't want them to need it. I don't want them to need that help. Because that means that they're struggling and I don't want them to struggle. And that's a huge pride thing that I've had to lay down and say, okay, like they are struggling. I need to help them. I need to put down my pride so I can move forward and help them be the best that they can be. And my mom sent me this beautiful voiceover. She said, I had this dream and I think it has to do with Hayden, you know, and she was talking about this in her dream. She saw this like premature baby be born and the parents just like, my mom is, she used to be a NICU nurse for like 20 years. And she said in the dream, the baby, you know, the baby was like a 24 weeker, you know, just sitting, you know, cold and wet on the table. And the parents, you know, were just kind of like, whatever, like it'll be fine. And my mom was like, no, like if we get this baby help, like this baby can do well. It's just a little bit immature and we just need to grow it and get it the help that it needs. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, with intervention and stuff, like this baby could live a really great life. And, you know, I just think that's a great perspective for like looking at services and early intervention too, is like, okay, they may just be like a little immature, but if we get them this help that they need, like they can go and flourish. And I've definitely seen that with my daughter, but there's definitely like a pride level of, you know, why is this happening to me? And, why is this happening to my kid? Why does it have to be this hard?
Yeah. I think there's also the side too, that comes with all that, that can, I think when you're overwhelmed and there's a lot going on and you're just like, you know, you feel like you're being pulled in every direction. It's really easy to get stressed out and it's really easy to get angry. And then it's really easy. You just kind of spiral. And so that's why it's really important to find people to support you and help you. And thankfully my son's school has been really adamant about saying like, hey, how can we help you? What do you need? You know what I do now? I call their school for everything now. I literally call them. I called them the other day and was like, hey, what pediatric offices do you recommend? Because I'm not really happy with the one that I found when I first moved here. Like, what are your recommendations? And the sweet girl at the front desk, she's so sweet. I call her all the time. She's like, okay, I'll call you back. And so like the next day she's like, okay, I went around to everyone and I basically did a survey. And the most recommended one I got was from a K-3 teacher. She said this person. And then one of our admins, she recommended this one. And like, these are the top recommended ones. And I was like, oh my gosh, you didn't have to go through all that trouble. Like I just, you know, was seeing what you thought. So, but on top of that, I remember speaking with the director and I was a little emotional that day. And because I'd found out, you know, kind of had a more full, had confirmation with Eli's hearing loss. And there was a lot of emotions happening. I was still processing because it just came from the appointment. And I knew it was a possibility, but I didn't want to be right. And I was right. And you know how that goes. And I get there and the staff was like, are you okay? And like, they gave me a big hug and they talked with me out there and they were like, Eli's amazing. He's going to be just fine. Don't you worry, mama. God's got big plans for him. And, you know, God's going to use this in a miraculous way. And they were just speaking all this positivity and life over him. And then on top of that, aside from that aspect, which is so important, was just this like, no questions asked support. When I said, hey, they mentioned there would be kind of issues with having an audiologist come to the school. Like they don't, like a lot of private schools don't do that. I won't help with that. And the director was like, don't worry about that. We'll figure it out. Don't you worry about anything. Just we'll do what we can. We will work with you. I don't want you stressing about that. And I was like, okay, I have a support system. I have a team. I have people in every place who's willing to work with me and help me here. And that's everything. Because if you don't have that, it's a real struggle and it really brings you to, it really drives you towards this place of anger because you're overwhelmed, you're stressed out and you don't feel like you don't know which way to go. You don't know which way to turn. And it can be a lot trying to take kids from therapy sessions, driving. I mean, I'm a taxi driver. You know, I'm not just mama. Oh, yeah. I drive them to and from everywhere. And,
that is me today.
Yes. Oh yeah. Today's supposed to be therapy day, but it got moved to tomorrow. So, Wednesdays are usually my therapy days and I'm just like this everywhere.
I think this is a great kind of place to wrap it up. I feel like the highlights here are, trusting God where you've been planted. If you've heard his call to, move, trusting him when you get to that place, even though it might not seem as fruitful as you expected it to be, trusting that he did call you and he did plant you where you're supposed to be. And then just leaning into God and trusting him with your children, letting go of that basket and finding your people. Mm-hmm. Finding your people.
Yeah. Community is so important. And if y'all feel like you don't have community where you are, there's ways of finding that. And I found my community through the internet. I found, you know,
I did too.
I met Sarah through, you know, social media and through a mutual friend. I mean, like I see her through a box most days through this little phone. And so like, you can find that too. So, you know, come to Love That Surpasses, follow us there. There's so many mamas, so many families there. And so many people have met each other through those types of platforms. So it's, we're not just about trying to, you know, encourage you and love on you and give you resources or things like that. But it's really a place for all of us to come together and meet in a very mutual place where how Sarah's had very parallel type things happen in her life. We're able to find each other and support each other. So I recommend that you come there and find your tribe there, because it's there. I promise you, those mamas, first of all, the DS community is crazy awesome. Like, and then you have the disability community on top of that. Like, everybody just comes together. They're just so amazing. I have people I've never met who pray over our family, pray over my kids, and send me messages encouraging me. And that's just the coolest thing ever. So I encourage you to go there and find that there.
I love that. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter as well. You can find that on www.lovethatsurpasses.org. It's all the way at the bottom. You'll find information about the events that we're hosting, ways to connect, and updates about the podcast. And then you can find me on Instagram at Love That Surpasses. That's my personal one. And then you can follow the ministry at Love That Surpasses Ministries. How can they find you, Megan?
So you can find me at Megan Bushlon. I'm most active on Instagram. And then I also have a YouTube channel where I share a little behind the scenes at Chasing the Sun, S-O-N. I hope that you'll connect with us on those platforms too. And we can just continue to build this amazing community.
Do you want to end us in a prayer, Megan?
Yeah, let's pray. Okay. All right, y'all. Bow your heads, close your eyes, unless you're driving, if you're doing anything that requires your sight. Lord, wow. I feel like today's episode was meant for somebody, even if it's this one person. Whoever's listening to this, this was for you. And the devil really tried his best to stop us from having this conversation. He didn't want you to know that you weren't that you were not alone. He didn't want you to know that there are people just like you who are going through the same exact things, who are struggling through the same exact experiences, and who have found a way to see, find hope, find peace, find rest. He doesn't want you to know that that's available to you. And so I hope that this episode, I hope that it encouraged you today. I hope that it gave you that hope and it pointed you to the light at the end of the tunnel. That is there. I promise you it's there. And I just ask that, Lord, that you just continue to speak to their hearts, take it the rest of the way home, Lord. Use this conversation as a starting point to really change their lives in an incredible way where there's no denying that your hand was on it, Lord. So I thank you. And Lord, I'm just so incredibly in awe of your goodness and your mercy and your love and your faithfulness. You don't relent. You find ways to speak to us and use us. And I just thank you for that. And I pray all these things in your name, Jesus. Let me pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We will see you at episode 7.
Episode 7 is about forgiveness of other people. Forgiveness is actually going to be a 2-part series too.
I know, because forgiveness can be really hard to do. And I feel like there's so many layers to that. It's going to be a 2-part for sure, but it's going to be good. So we'll see y'all in the next episode.
Bye.